Right, before we get into today's topic, I need a quick rant. I'm sitting at my desk in a small legal firm in the north of England, trying to do something incredibly simple: upload an anti-money laundering questionnaire. That's it. Not moving millions through offshore accounts, not dismantling an international crime syndicate, just uploading a form. So naturally, I enter my password. Then I need multi-factor authentication. The authentication app wants me to approve a request. The app has logged me out, so I need to log into the app, which requires multi-factor authentication. The code expires before I've found my reading glasses. Then the portal decides it doesn't trust the device it's trusted every day for the last 3 years. Another code, another email, another verification, another security check. Meanwhile, somewhere in Silicon Valley, an engineer is proudly announcing they've reduced the risk of unauthorized access by 0.003%. And me? I've lost an hour of my life trying to upload a document confirming that our client isn't laundering money through a chain of shell companies registered in Luxembourg. I haven't even reached as far as the questionnaire yet. And that's what today's podcast is about. Not security, not compliance, but the growing jungle of red tape that surrounds compliance in small legal practices. The struggle is real. For those outside the legal profession, compliance sounds perfectly reasonable. Prevent money laundering, protect client data, verify identities, keep proper records. And honestly, nobody disagrees with those goals. The problem isn't the destination, it's the ever-expanding route map we've created to get there. In a small regional firm, compliance doesn't happen in a dedicated department occupying an entire floor of an office block. It happens at my desk in a small room where the sash windows refuse to budge open despite the equatorial temperature inside. Between meetings, between deadlines, between drafting contracts, emails, and answering phone calls. The individual advising a family on a house purchase might also be the same person completing risk assessments, checking sanctions registers, reviewing AML procedures, and attending mandatory training sessions. For me, it's a daily routine. Every rule individually makes sense. Collectively, they create a mountain. And every year, it seems that mountain grows a little higher. The irony is that much of compliance is about risk management, but small firms often find themselves managing the risk of non-compliance more than the underlying risks themselves. Take anti-money laundering, an essential safeguard. Nobody sensible wants criminals exploiting legal services. Yet the sheer volume of forms, checks, declarations, and record keeping can sometimes feel disconnected from reality. Clients become frustrated, staff become overwhelmed, and firms spend increasing amounts of time proving they've completed checks instead of serving the people who walk through the door seeking legal help. The compliance process begins to become the event rather than the supporting framework around it. Then there's technology. Technology was supposed to save us. Remember that promise? Paperless offices, streamlined workflows, automation. Instead, many firms operate across half a dozen platforms that decide they don't want to speak to one another or require upgrades costing thousands, or simply have had Microsoft support withdrawn altogether. One system for case management, another for AML checks, a separate training portal, a separate document portal, a separate password manager, a separate system for multi-factor authentication. All secured behind enough login credentials to launch a space mission. Every vendor promises simplicity. Each adds another dashboard, another password, another monthly email announcing exciting improvements that nobody asked for. There's also a uniquely small business dimension to all this. Large organizations can absorb bureaucracy. They have dedicated compliance teams and usually the budget to go with it, dedicated IT departments, dedicated risk managers. Small firms don't. Every additional administrative burden lands on people who are already wearing multiple hats. The managing partner is not only managing, they're recruiting, they're budgeting, they're handling complaints, they're reviewing files, and occasionally, if they're lucky, they're practicing law. Compliance requirements that seem modest when viewed from a regulator's perspective can feel enormous when viewed from a high street office with 20 employees and a packed workload. Now, none of this is an argument against regulation. Far from it. Public trust matters. Professional standards matter. Security matters. The legal profession has a critical role in protecting the public and upholding the rule of law. But there's a question worth asking. At what point does compliance stop supporting good practice and start competing with it? At what point do we risk measuring activity rather than effectiveness? More forms do not automatically mean better outcomes. More passwords do not automatically mean better security. More checklists do not automatically mean less risk. Sometimes they simply mean more administration. And perhaps that's the real lesson. The people writing the rules are usually trying to solve genuine problems. The people following the rules are usually trying to do the right thing. Yet somewhere between policy and practice, complexity accumulates. A new requirement here, an additional verification there, a fresh guidance note every few months. Until one morning, you're staring at your computer, waiting for your fifth authentication code of the day, wondering why uploading an AML questionnaire feels harder than buying a house. So the next time someone talks casually about compliance obligations, spare a thought for the small legal firms quietly battling passwords, portals, policies and paperwork across the north of England. Because behind every completed AML questionnaire is an individual just like me who first had to survive the login process. And frankly, by the time you've passed multi-factor authentication, you've already demonstrated remarkable perseverance and resilience. Thanks for listening. Until next time, stay compliant, stay patient, and may your authentication code arrive before it expires.